and crew of Nueva Venezuela had been ordered to their quarters. Capitalist luxuries, Malik told himself. Once we take over these stations for good, we'll run them for the benefit of the workers, not for the profit of the money grubbers. Still, a small voice inside his head observed wryly, the money grubbers produce a much better style of luxuries. Once the people's servants get their hands on these facilities, the quality of the food and drink will suffer. Malik shook his head as if to drive such thoughts from his mind. There were always places where important men could get the luxuries they desired. When they reached the double doors that opened into the lounge area, Malik stopped and peered through the glass window set into one of them. He thought he recognized the son of Randolph's friend, the industrialist Yamagata, among the couple of dozen Japanese sitting around the plush sofas and the chairs of the lounge. Good. He will make a useful bargaining chip. The process of bringing Japan to heel can begin immediately, perhaps. But then he saw Lucita, standing by the long, curving window, looking out wistfully at the earth. It is her. Malik's heart felt encased in ice. She's come here to be with him, probably to warn him against me. He could feel the cold fury racing through him, spreading along every nerve and blood vessel like an invasion of demons. Turning to Major Ostrovsky, he said coldly, the woman by the window, that is Hernandez. Bring her out here to me. Something in Malik's voice frightened the major. He saluted and motioned the lieutenant to come with him. Malik paced away from the doors, wondering why he should feel such rage. She had betrayed him. She had flown to the American. Had he expected anything else? Had he expected her to be loyal to him, to stand by his side, even to love him? And he realized that even though he had never expected Lucita to behave in such a manner, that was exactly what he had wanted. He wanted her loyalty, her love. My God, he thought, do I really love her? Have I let my guard down so much that she can make me furious with jealousy? The answer was obvious. Ostrovsky's soft, sir, made him turn again. Lucita stood before him, the major on one side of her, the young lieutenant on the other. She looked so small, so helpless, standing there between them like a prisoner. I didn't expect to find you here, Malik said. His voice sounded tight, almost choked, even in his own ears. Lucita said nothing, merely stared at him. He tried to determine what was in her eyes. It was not fear, he could see, nor supplication. Anger. She was burning with suppressed anger, just as furious with Malik as he was with her. He reached out and grasped her by the arm. Leading her away from the two officers, he walked slowly back down the long sloping corridor in the direction from which he had come. Lucita came along with him, not willingly, but not resisting him either. You came to warn Randolph, didn't you? Malik said.
I came too late, replied Lucita.
For an instant he wanted to tell her that she herself had sprung the trap on Randolph, that it was her fault he was now under arrest. But he could not bring himself to say the words. How quiet everything is, Lucita said. It's as if the whole station has died. I only have 60 men to control the entire station, Malik said. More will be sent, but for the time being, we must keep everyone in their quarters.
When I was here before, after visiting Kosmograd, this place was so alive, so busy and bustling, Lucita said. I remember that it shocked me. I was bringing Teresa's body home, Malik felt his jaws clench. And it shocked me that all these people seemed so busy and happy. Now, it's dead.
Only for a short while.
She shook her head. No. Once you put your hand on something, Vasily, it dies. You are an agent of death. I don't think you mean to be. But you are just the same.
That's very unfair, he snapped.
She smiled wanly, but true. It made no sense. This was supposed to be victory. Yet he felt no triumph. He heard himself say,
You came here to see Randolph. I will take you to him.
You will be the first to visit him in his imprisonment. And the last. Without waiting for her to reply, Malik took Lucita by the wrist and led her off toward the storage area where Dan Randolph was locked in a cage. Major Ostrovsky and his lieutenant hurried to follow them. Nobuhiko paced the length of the lounge, feeling the utter frustration of an energetic young man who has been forced into idleness. There must be something I can do, he told himself over and again. Something. Each time he reached the wall at one end of the lounge, he eyed the Russian soldiers standing by the doors. Two of them at each end, armed with stubby machine pistols that fired flesh-ripping flechette darts. With an impatient snorting sigh, Nobo turned away and began pacing again. He was stopped by another Japanese, a wiry, short man with a thick mane of iron-gray hair. He wore an ordinary business suit of dark blue. His tie was decorated with the flying heron symbol of the Yamagatas. Yamagata-san, he said, bowing slightly to the son of the family's head. Nobo returned a curt nod. Forgive my clumsy lack of manners for greeting you so informally, said the man in low, swift Japanese. But I thought it best not to be obvious to the barbarian soldiers. You are... Isoru, at your service, Yamagata-san. Pacing the lounge in a more leisurely manner now, with Isoru at his side, Nobo asked, Are you a member of my family, or an employee of Astro Manufacturing? I am both, the older man replied. Your father arranged for my team to become employees of the Americans so that we could be close to you and protect you from assassination. Ah. Comprehension began to dawn on Nobuhiko. My team and I have been at your side for many weeks. My orders were to remain invisible so that you would not know who we were or why we were here. My father feared for my life. Most truly. Now I understand. You have done well, Isoru. The man hissed with pleasure. How many men do you have? 10, including myself. 8 men and 2 women. Women? Nobuhiko felt startled. Isoru shrugged. The times have changed. But they obey orders, and they have a certain surprise value. Are they all here? They are all in this room, Yamagata-san, awaiting your orders. Can they disarm the soldiers swiftly and silently, without allowing them to fire a shot? Easily. I don't want the soldiers killed, Nobu said. They must be taken prisoner. Isoru nodded. It can be done. Nobu hesitated only a fraction of a moment. He had no clear idea of what to do after disarming the soldiers, but he knew that nothing else could be done until they had been disarmed. Very well, he said. Do so. Isoru bowed again. Only the smallest and least noticeable of bows. His face was as impassive as a rock wall. He walked away from Nobu as casually as a man would after a harmless, friendly conversation. Nobuhiko resumed his pacing, but now he watched to see what his father's appointed guardians were going to do. Though he watched intently, he could see nothing. Isoru gave no obvious signal to anyone else. The man merely strolled off to one of the long observation windows and seemed to stare out at the earth. The minutes ticked off slowly. Nobu grew tired of pacing and went to the window where Isoru stood, his hands clasped behind his back. But as if he had eyes in the back of his head, Isoru turned away as Nobu approached and moved off toward one end of the lounge. Briefly, Nobu debated following him. But it was clear that the man did not want Nobu near him. Then he noticed that a good-looking young Japanese woman was chatting and smiling with the pair of Russian soldiers guarding the door at that end of the lounge. Turning toward the other end, Nobu could see no Japanese within 20 paces of the 2 soldiers there. Isoru was still walking slowly down the room. He unclasped his hands and flexed his fingers slightly. The slim young woman, smiling up at the 2 burly Russian soldiers, suddenly struck one of them on the point of his chin with her cupped hand and drove her other hand blurringly fast into the solar plexus of the other. If Nobu had blinked, he would have missed it. A thud, a choked grunt, and the 2 soldiers were collapsing to the carpeted floor, their guns slipping from their numbed hands. Swinging toward the other end of the lounge, Nobu saw the 2 soldiers there, slumping to the floor, a pair of wiry Japanese young men crouching over them. As calmly as a man strolling through a garden, Isoru came to Nobu.